Welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we like to get into the really fascinating stuff, the stuff that's usually under the radar, but really kind of impacts all of us in a big way. And today we're going to be talking about something that if you're a frequent flyer, or even if you just fly, you know, once or twice a year, you're going to be interested in this because it has to do with the supply chain and specifically the aviation parts supply chain.
Absolutely.
And we're going to be getting into some really interesting stuff here because... as you know, if you've been following the news, this isn't just something that popped up, you know, as a result of the pandemic.
Right.
It's actually an ongoing challenge that has been going on for a while and has been sort of exacerbated by all the recent events.
Yeah, it's a story that has been unfolding for quite some time, and it's really multifaceted. It's not just one simple problem with one simple solution. It's really a complex puzzle with a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. So, what we're going to do today is sort of take a look at what our sources are saying about some of the solutions that are being implemented.
Right.
To ensure that aircraft remain airworthy and also that we, you know, sort of ensure the availability of these parts.
Exactly. You know, ensuring the safety of air travel is obviously paramount.
Right.
And a huge part of that is making sure that the industry has access to the parts they need to keep those planes flying safely.
Exactly.
So we're not going to dwell on the problems themselves today.
Yeah.
We're going to focus on the progress that's being made.
Right.
We're going to explore some of the really creative and innovative solutions that the aviation industry is employing to overcome these bottlenecks.
Exactly.
And you know what? I think you'll find it really fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a real testament to the ingenuity and resilience of this industry.
Yeah.
So let's dive in.
Okay. So we've sort of looked at our sources and we've identified three key strategies that we want to really dig into.
Okay.
And those are parts manufacturer approval, or PMA, designated engineering representative repairs, which is also known as DER repairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, used serviceable material, or USM.
Right.
So let's start with PMA.
Okay, great. So parts manufacturer approval, or PMA.
Yeah.
It's becoming a really significant part of the solution for keeping these aircraft flying. And, you know, it's essentially the primary alternative route.
Okay.
For getting those crucial parts when the original equipment manufacturer, or OEM, can't readily supply them.
Okay, so if... Boeing or Airbus.
Exactly.
They don't have the parts.
Yeah.
There's an alternative
exactly.
to going directly to them.
That's right.
And that's through PMA.
Exactly. And what's really critical here
okay.
is the role of the FAA.
Okay.
The Federal Aviation Administration.
Right.
They have unwavering oversight
okay.
in this entire process. So, you know, airworthiness isn't just a buzzword.
Mm-hmm.
It's the bedrock principle that guides every decision.
So it's not like they're just letting any company just make a part.
Exactly.
And then slap an FAA approval on it?
No, no, no. There's a very rigorous system in place
right.
to ensure that these PMA parts meet the same exacting safety standards as the original parts.
Okay.
So you know it's not just a rubber stamp.
So what does that actually look like, that process?
So it's really interesting. The FAA actually uses a three-pronged approach to evaluating and approving these PMA parts.
Yeah, okay.
So first they look at the design of the part itself.
Okay.
They review it meticulously. They make sure that it meets all the necessary airworthiness standards.
So inherent safety.
Exactly. Inherent safety. That it's designed safely.
Okay.
Second, they actually audit and approve the production quality system of the manufacturer.
Oh, wow. So they're going to the factory and saying, okay.
They're going to the factory. They're looking at the processes. They're looking at the quality control measures.
Wow.
They're making sure that the company has the capability to consistently produce parts that match that approved design. And then finally, they grant eligibility approval, which is essentially confirming that this specific PMA part is safe for installation on specific types of aircraft.
Okay. So they're saying, okay, this part can go on a 737.
Exactly.
It can go on an A320.
Yes.
But maybe not on... you know, some other kind of aircraft.
Exactly. It's very specific.
Okay.
It's very specific to the aircraft type.
So if I'm a mechanic and I see a PMA part and it has that FAA stamp of approval,
right,
I can be confident that it's good to go.
Exactly. As long as it's being installed on an aircraft model.
Okay.
That's listed in what's called the PMA supplement.
Okay. And in the supplement.
Yeah. Which basically outlines all the approved aircraft models for that specific part.
So what happens if... an airline wants to use a PMA part on an aircraft that isn't listed in that PMA supplement?
That's a great question. And it does happen. Sometimes, a PMA manufacturer might be in the process of getting more aircraft models added to their eligibility list. Or there might be a unique situation where a part is needed for an aircraft that hasn't been specifically addressed yet. So in those scenarios, the air carrier isn't just stuck. They actually have a pathway to determine if that PMA part is suitable for their specific aircraft. And this is where the airline's own engineering expertise comes into play. So essentially, they undertake their own assessment to establish eligibility.
So they're not just saying, well, it's FAA approved, so it must be good.
No, they're doing their due diligence, and they're typically going to develop detailed engineering data that supports the safe installation of that part.
On their particular aircraft type.
Exactly, on that specific aircraft type.
Right.
And this is often formalized through what's called an engineering order or an EO.
Okay.
You might also hear terms like engineering change order or engineering design order,
Okay.
but essentially it's a formal document
Right.
that outlines the technical justification for using that PMA part on that specific aircraft.
And how do they come up with that data?
Well, it often involves a collaboration
Okay.
between the airline's engineers and the engineers at the PMA manufacturing company.
Oh, okay.
So they're working together
Okay.
to develop the necessary technical justifications.
So they're not working in isolation.
No, it's a collaborative effort,
Okay.
and it leverages the expertise of both sides.
Makes sense. Now, one thing that I found really interesting in the research was that PMA suppliers seem to have a different mindset when it comes to availability of parts.
Absolutely. Unlike some of the larger OEM suppliers who might have longer and less flexible lead times, a lot of these independent FAA PMA companies, they recognize that a core part of their value proposition is the ready availability of their parts. So they prioritize maintaining on-demand inventory.
Okay, so they have stuff on the shelf ready to go,
Exactly, ready to go.
which can be a huge advantage
Huge advantage.
for airlines and maintenance providers who are,
Right.
faced with an AOG situation and aircraft on ground situation.
Absolutely. You don't want a plane stuck in the ground because you're waiting for a part. And here's where it gets really interesting. Our sources indicate that even OEM repair stations, the very shops that you might assume exclusively use original manufacturer parts, have been known to purchase and use PMA articles
Really?
when they simply cannot obtain the needed OEM equivalents.
So Boeing is buying parts
It's
from
happening.
other manufacturers.
It's happening.
Wow.
And this really gained traction during the major supply chain disruptions.
Related to COVID?
Exactly, related to COVID. But our sources are confirming that it's a practice that continues today,
Interesting.
not just by repair stations, but also by aircraft operators directly. So it really highlights how crucial PMA has become.
So they're going straight to the PMA folks.
They're going straight to the PMA folks. And it suggests that these PMA manufacturers can sometimes be more agile and responsive to immediate market needs
Makes sense.
compared to the, often vast and complex OEM supply chains.
So if you're a smaller company, you can be more nimble.
You can be more nimble, exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about PMA as a part substitution strategy. Let's move on to our second key solution, DR repairs. Now, for our listeners who might not be familiar, what exactly are DRs?
So designated engineering representatives, or DRs as they're often called, are essentially highly skilled individuals who the FAA has empowered to act as their authorized representatives in specific technical areas. So think of them as extensions of the FAA's engineering oversight, particularly when it comes to the aftermarket.
Okay, the aftermarket.
The world of repairs and modifications that happen after an aircraft leaves the factory. So when a DR approves technical data for a repair, for example, that approval signifies that the data demonstrates full compliance with all the relevant airworthiness standards.
So it's like the FAA is saying, we trust this person
Exactly.
to make that judgment
That's right. They're essentially making that technical finding of safety
on behalf of the FAA.
on behalf of the FAA, exactly. And it's important to note that DRs, they don't just have like a general authorization. They have specific areas of expertise.
Right. Our sources mentioned these function codes.
Exactly. Function codes. That's right.
Yeah.
So DRs are authorized to work within specific function codes.
Okay.
Which define their area of expertise.
Okay.
So for example, an RSDR,
okay.
RS stands for repair specification,
okay.
is specifically authorized to review and approve repair specifications on behalf of the FAA.
Okay.
So they're the experts in repairs. And this is really valuable because these DR-approved repair specifications can offer alternative FAA-approved methods for carrying out maintenance compared to what's detailed in the original aircraft manufacturer's manuals, their service bulletins, or instructions for continued airworthiness.
Okay.
So it gives you more options.
So if a particular repair isn't covered in those standard manuals, a DR can essentially create and approve a safe way to perform that repair.
Precisely.
Okay.
So these DR-approved repairs often address more complex or major repairs.
Okay.
And the data they approve can be very specific, you know, tailored to a particular aircraft's serial number.
Oh, why?
Or it can be more general, applicable to a wider segment of the fleet.
Okay.
So it really depends on the situation.
So when we hear industry professionals talk about DR repairs, they're referring to these repairs that weren't originally documented by the manufacturer.
Exactly. Or where a DR approved data package has addressed some limitation in that original documentation. So it's about finding safe solutions outside the standard playbook.
So it's sort of like the exception to the rule, but it's still approved.
Exactly. It's still fully approved and legitimate.
Okay.
And it carries the same weight as if someone at the FAA had personally signed off on it.
Okay.
As long as that DER is operating within the scope of their specific authorizations, their approval is considered equivalent to an approval directly from the FAA.
That's huge.
It is huge. And it's really important for keeping aircraft flying.
Right.
You know, it can significantly reduce aircraft downtime for airlines.
Yeah, because if you have to go back to the OEM and say, hey,
I
need you to come up with a repair for this.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes that can take a lot of time.
Right.
A DR can often provide a much quicker solution.
Right.
Improved repair solution.
Wow. So that's DER repairs.
That's DER repairs in a nutshell.
Okay. So we've explored PMA as a part substitution strategy.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about DER repairs as a way to approve alternative repair methods.
Right.
Now, our third key solution is used serviceable material.
U.S.
Or USM.
Yes.
This sounds like it could be a more economical way.
It can be very economical to keep planes flying.
So tell me about it.
So USM is exactly what the name implies.
Okay.
Used aircraft components
that
have been in service.
Right.
But are still in a condition where they can be overhauled, tested, and ultimately returned to service in an airworthy condition.
Okay, so they're not just taking a part off of one plane, slapping it on another.
No, it's not that simple.
Okay.
There's a process, an overhaul process, that ensures that these parts still meet the necessary performance and safety standards for being returned to service.
So where does most of this USM come from?
Well, the vast majority of it actually comes from aircraft that are being retired. You know, when an aircraft reaches the end of its operational life, instead of just being scrapped entirely, it's often carefully disassembled.
Okay.
And a single aircraft can yield a surprisingly large number of individual parts.
Wow. So like hundreds of parts.
Hundreds, sometimes even exceeding 1,000.
From one airplane.
From one airplane.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's quite remarkable.
So these parts were originally approved when the aircraft was first built.
Right.
But they don't just automatically go straight onto another plane after being taken off.
That's a crucial distinction.
Okay.
While they were indeed approved parts when they were initially manufactured and installed, they aren't considered immediately airworthy simply by being removed from an aircraft.
Got it.
They almost always require
that
thorough overhaul by a properly certified MRO facility.
So an MRO is a maintenance, repair, and overhaul.
Exactly.
Okay.
Facility.
So they take this part. They make sure it's still good to go.
They inspect it. They test it.
Mm-hmm.
They repair it if necessary.
Okay.
And they basically recertify it.
Okay. So there's a whole process.
There's a whole process.
Yeah.
To make sure it's safe to go back on an airplane.
So our research touched on some past concerns.
Mm-hmm.
regarding the aircraft disassembly process itself,
Yes.
what were those issues?
So historically,
Yeah.
there was a recognized area for improvement
Okay.
within the USM supply chain,
Okay.
particularly concerning how end-of-life aircraft were being taken apart.
Okay.
Unlike the highly regulated processes of
Right.
aircraft maintenance and repair,
Okay.
the disassembly process itself wasn't always subject to the same level of direct regulatory oversight.
Okay.
And this lack of standardization
Yeah.
raised some concerns about the potential for parts to be damaged during removal
I see.
and, the overall consistency of the process
Oh,
in ensuring the quality of the recovered materials.
so it was a little bit of the Wild West.
Kind of, yeah, a little bit of the Wild West.
Okay.
But thankfully, things have changed.
Okay.
Modern industry practices have
Yeah.
made significant strides in enhancing safety and quality assurance in this area.
Okay, good.
So a growing number of companies involved in aircraft disassembly now operate under the umbrella of the Aircraft Fleet Recycling Association, or AFRA,
Okay.
and they adhere to their best management practices.
Okay, AFE or
The
BMP.
AFRA BMP, exactly.
Okay.
And the AFRA BMP is essentially a comprehensive management system
Okay.
specifically designed to safeguard the airworthiness
Oh.
of the parts being removed
Okay.
from these end-of-life aircraft.
Okay.
And crucially,
Yeah.
it also places a strong emphasis on environmentally responsible practices
Oh.
during the disassembly process.
Okay, so it's a win-win.
It's a win-win.
Yeah.
So it's not just about carefully taking the parts off,
Right.
it's also about doing it in a way that maintains their integrity
Okay.
and minimizes environmental impact.
That's great.
And, disassembly companies can actually choose to implement a quality management system
Okay.
that aligns with the rigorous standards of the AFRA BMP.
Okay.
And then independent AFRA auditors can actually inspect and certify these
Oh,
companies
wow.
against those standards.
Okay.
So it provides a really valuable layer
Yeah.
of independent verification
That's great.
that the disassembly process is being conducted responsibly
Okay.
and with a strong focus on preserving the airworthiness of those recovered parts.
That's great.
And what's particularly encouraging
Yeah.
is that the adoption of AFRA BMP is really raising the overall standards
Okay.
for the safe handling of USM,
Right from the get.
right, from the initial removal stage.
Okay.
So this means that parts are less likely to be damaged during disassembly,
Okay.
which in turn leads to a greater number of high-quality recoverable components.
So it's better for the environment
Yes.
and it's better for the supply chain.
Exactly. It's a win-win situation.
Yeah, that's great. So that brings us to the conclusion of our deep dive into these three really key solutions: PMA,
Yes.
DER repairs, and USM.
Right. So we've seen how parts manufacturer approval provides a vital and rigorously controlled avenue
Yeah.
for substituting OEM parts
When they're unavailable.
when they're unavailable. Exactly.
And we've explored how designated engineering representatives
Yes.
offer that crucial flexibility in
Yes.
approving alternative repair procedures.
While upholding that commitment to airworthiness,
Exactly.
that's so important.
Yeah.
And finally, we've examined the increasing significance of used serviceable material,
Yeah.
which, with the adoption of these industry best practices,
Right.
is becoming a really cost-effective
Yeah.
and increasingly reliable source of aircraft components.
Yeah, and I think it's really clear that the aviation industry isn't simply weathering this supply chain storm.
Right.
They're actually being proactive and
Yes.
coming up with solutions.
Exactly. They're developing and implementing FAA-approved strategies to navigate these challenges.
While ensuring that safety remains the top priority.
Absolutely. Safety is always paramount. These solutions, they really showcase a powerful combination of robust regulatory oversight and innovative practices within the industry.
And it really makes you think
Yes.
about how these relationships between the aircraft manufacturers,
Right.
the airlines,
Yeah.
and the maintenance providers are going to
Yeah.
continue to evolve.
Yeah. How are those relationships going to change in the future?
Yeah.
Given the growing reliance on PMA parts, the more widespread use of DER approved repairs,
Right.
and the increasing sophistication of the USM market.
Right. It's a very complex ecosystem,
It
but
is.
it's really fascinating to see how they're adapting and innovating to keep
Absolutely.
things moving.
Yeah, it's a dynamic industry
Yeah.
and it's constantly evolving.
So for our listeners out there,
Yeah.
what are your thoughts on how these trends are going to reshape the
Yeah,
industry?
how is this all going to play out?
Yeah, leave us your comments.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
And until next time,
Happy flying.
this is the Deep Dive.
Shining off.